This was 12 years ago, and it was just starting, getting started, like the first people understanding what's going on, we met them. So it was very exciting to see how this type of, I don't know, business will emerge.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This episode is powered by the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program.
We are helping enhancing the startup ecosystems in 6 different countries, 4 of which are based in the Balkans. And you get to meet really amazing people here. And not just that you share your know-how, you also get to learn a lot from these people here. My name is Nina Nikolic, and I am the manager of Entrepreneurs in Residence and ecosystem facilitator for the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program here in Macedonia.
Thank you so much for powering the Women in Tech podcast. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast, empowering and celebrating women in tech around the world. And we are in Skopje, Macedonia right now with the most extraordinary, innovative women in tech, all thanks to Swiss Entrepreneurship Program. This is so cool. And we have Katarina. Hello.
Hello. Hey, nice to meet you. Thanks for having me on this podcast.
Yeah.
I really respect what you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
Especially building this ecosystem around women and around tech. So it's amazing. Congrats.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm stoked to have you on the show. And thank you for being so patient. You should have seen when Katarina like came to meet me like an hour ago, I was like, I barely knew what my own name was. And I was just trying to sort everything out. So she's been incredibly patient. And I'm really excited to share your story. So now you are the co-founder of a tech company.
Yep.
And so go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay, as we said, I'm Katarina. I'm one of the co-founders of Embed Social. We are a social proof platform. Basically, that means that we connect with social media networks and we kind of listen what customers are talking about your business. We collect this data in one place, one web-based application. The idea is not just to collect it and store it in one place, but to reuse it. So we give you tools, interesting type of tools like widgets, which you can put it on your website, or maybe you will want to reuse this content for advertising. So as I mentioned, we have in-depth integration with social media networks. So one of our newest products is creating ads on Facebook and Instagram with the content that maybe your customers posted, maybe you posted on social media. So the idea is to kind of save a lot of time and also like collect this this content that customers are talking about your business and reuse it again to maybe showcase it in terms of convincing other people to buy from your website or maybe give relevance around your products and services. So we have interesting use cases, and we have seen results which are very measurable, like increasing conversion rates on websites.
And now, just so I'm clear, are you talking specifically about retargeting customers, or are you talking about repurposing social content?
Primarily repurposing.
Repurposing. Yeah. So can you walk me through an example of, let's take like a recent client you did, or even an example. Walk me through, as visual as possible, the use experience. Me as a brand, I hire you, and then the viewer seeing the content, what's happening on all sides? Like, what's it look like?
Yeah, so for example, one of our like big clients is in US, of course, and they are working with a lot of dealerships, car dealerships. So the idea is that when you try to buy a car, you will basically go to Google and try to find the best dealer or the best fit for buying the car. And usually the results that came up, will pop up, are maybe results from Google Maps, because dealerships have physical locations. And what we have seen, this is a use case that most of our users are requesting. We haven't thought about it, of course, by ourselves. But we have seen, like, if you have 100 dealerships in 100 different locations, it's very hard to discover the information that clients post on Google Maps, for example. So we have seen people like really realizing that people talk about them without them knowing. Mm-hmm. So if you try to Google your name and you will see, or your business name, your dealership name, you will see reviews posted on your location in Google Maps, which is actually the first thing that a potential buyer might read about your business. Mm-hmm. And if these reviews, who are actual customers, right, or actual people who went to your stores, are not very good for your business, then, you know, it can make or break,
yeah,
the decision.
It's true. I've heard even with Yelp that a lot of restaurants went out of business all because one or two bad Yelp reviews.
So that's, I'm very, very kind of, very happy personally, because businesses are becoming very aware about fixing problems, and just knowing what people are saying about them gives them, you know, the power to fix things. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing that our, for example, our platform can collect all this data from these 100 locations in one place. And every time you have a new review, we notify you, or we will tell you, like, you have a negative review. Mm-hmm. It's time to reply. We encourage everybody to reply to negative reviews, because it's, you know, most of the cases, maybe it's a small problem, maybe it's, you know, something you need to apologize about. But if this is done in a transparent, you know, trustworthy way, other people can read also your comment, and they can make a decision, like, maybe you will fix the comment. And
right,
usually we see people editing, you know, like if they made a, you know, negative review, they will also come back and edit the review,
right,
and make
right,
it a 5-star. So if we collect this data and not just give them the tool to analyze, to see the customers, we also give them a way to make their websites alive, because we all know that websites are, of course, dynamic, but the only way that we know it's a dynamic section of the websites is usually, I don't know, blog posts, latest news, stuff like that. But why not customer information, like the latest reviews? And how we are doing this is that we sync all this data in real time, and you have information like timestamp, the username, you know, the link to the source. So the relevance in this small widget is very high. Like, it feels alive. Like, you see that this company is transparent, and we have seen also people showcasing negative things, which is also interesting. Like, they give them a choice, you know, like, we had a negative experience, but maybe sometimes this negative experience is not related with the product.
Yeah.
It can happen with the service, maybe.
Yeah.
But it can be fixed. So that's the main, one of the bigger use cases of the platform.
Before we move on to hear more about your personal story, because I, you know, before we started recording, you and I were sharing that we both know enough about how to code, just enough to break a site and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But it sounds like your company isn't just a social media marketing company. It's really a data analytics company to understand social and then understand how to optimize it in a way to make an impact.
And so tell
me a little bit more about the dashboard you've created that you were just talking about. Like, walk us through visually, like, a client slash customer signs up to work with you, and then what does that dashboard that they have access to look like?
Okay, so the first day, we, because this is my second company, my first experience was having a digital agency. We were Facebook marketing partners, one of the few at the beginning in the whole world. So we knew how to do service business, but this is second business is product business. So it's a kind of a automated business, you know. It's a product, it's, you put it out there so people can buy it, and, you know, the transactions, everything is, they can do it by themselves. So you are not there to explain them how to use the platform. So from day one, as I said, our main goal was to give this tool in the hands of the customer, so they can go to the wow effect very quickly. So it's an onboarding process. We have, I don't know, revamped it a few times, And why I'm saying from day one, because our main idea was to not just acquire tons of customers, but really the idea was to retain these customers. Mm-hmm. Because if we retain them, you know, it's very easy to pour money in advertising and
right.
see a scalable effect. So basically, we have done a very simple dashboard. You come, you register. There is a one pop-up window. This pop-up window tells you, like, where do you want to pull data. You can choose Facebook. You click Facebook. We explain you that we will get you your information. And on the next screen, basically, you will see this information. And you will see, for example, reviews from Facebook in a nice layout. Mm-hmm. You can feel how this can look on your website. And also, immediately, we show you the code that you just need to embed on your website.
Right.
Our main success is that moment. Like, people will say, aha, you know, wow, this is amazing. Like, I just click one button and you pulled me 1,000 data points right, right. or stuff like that. So this happens also with, for example, stories. We're now working with Instagram stories. And people are, because it's very new format, people are really not aware that they can store, that there is a possible way to store your stories because they, you know, they disappear after right. 24
yeah.
hours. So this is allowed. We have integration, API integration with Instagram. And, you know, when you have your story on Instagram and you click a few buttons and we pull your story in a web-based format because it's not the mobile, you know, mobile app on Instagram, people get this moment. So the if you want to analyze some data, we have a dashboard showcasing, you know, the number of views on the story, for example, the I don't know, engagement, reach, stuff like that. So we have, you know, different kind of tools and features.
And let's go into about your personal history, because this is what this is about. And so did you have tech in your home growing up?
Yeah. My cousin, my first cousin, is basically one of those guys who are stereotype geeks people. So I think that he was one of the first, I don't know, in my community who had a computer. He had Commodore. I don't know if you remember. Yeah, I'm that old, so I remember Commodore. I think that was in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, I got impressed how this machine, you know, can you can plug in at that moment. We don't, I think he didn't have any monitors. He was plugging the Commodore computer on the TV.
Right.
And I started with games, of course. At the beginning, I was really into gaming. My parents luckily bought me a computer when I was very young. Gaming, of course, it was like primary school, secondary school. So I will make the story short. When I started thinking about business and how we can do this, we had here in Skopje new department on the economic faculty. The name is electronic business. I'm not sure if you have this type of departments in US, but maybe. So this was 15 years ago. And it was something new, electronic, you know, you are not basically an engineer, but you work with computers. So it sounded very good. And I was very lucky to have geek kind of colleagues who were, you know, similar like me, boys and girls. And we started very early working, freelancing, building websites, buying domains, doing some kind of services, you know. Things like that. So.
And then how did you transition from having tech in your home growing up into starting to study tech and getting into the tech world in school, even before you became a professional? What did that look like?
Okay, so as I said, my environment kind of helped me. We have some help from our mentors at school who kind of identified that this group of kids are very interested in technology and doing some projects. We were not, you know, very good students, I can say, but we were very tight. We were going all the time at the school, at the faculty, all the time, like mm-hmm. in the morning at 8 a.m. I don't know why, but we kind of liked hanging out together. And I think in the second or third year, we started doing podcasts, something like this, like webinars. Webinars is probably the first name of podcast, I don't know. But yeah, we started webinars because we have seen this web and this internet that you can do business, you know, you can communicate with everyone. You just need maybe e-commerce, some kind of a platform to monetize and things like that.
And webinars are really actually unusual here in the Balkan area. People have not adopted webinar.
Yeah.
They don't like it yet. So it was great. This was a while ago,
This was 12 years ago.
You're still advanced. To think that you discovered it 12 years ago is crazy.
So we were very serious in what we were doing. We reach out to banks, to, I don't know, ministries, some kind of a processing providers who were doing payments here in Macedonia. And we had some webinars about electronic commerce. It's still not that developed here in Macedonia, but I'm telling this was 12 years ago. And it was just getting started, like the first people understanding what's going on, we met them. So it was very exciting to see how this type of, I don't know, business will emerge, you know.
And then where did you go from there? What were your next steps?
My next steps was I applied to an MBA school. It was very early for me, but I was working. I started my job in an ISP provider. So I had this position to manage different processes and try to digitalize these processes. It's a very rigid bureaucratic organization. So the CEO of the company was American. So he kind of, gave me some empowerment to do these kind of things. And because I was doing my MBA, it kind of, yes, it was very early, but it fit my job description. I was doing a lot of things around acquisitions. We were buying another companies. We needed to integrate their billing system with our billing system. So things like that. And that was my kind of corporate experience, I will say. And in some point of time, because I was like very work driven, maybe it's weird, but I don't know. I really liked work and make things done. I don't want to wait for some decisions, you know, like different people to sign papers and make this happen and wait for 1 month. So these things kind of frustrated me or I don't know. And I thought that I can do things faster if I had the power and decision making by my own. So it totally made sense to start my own company or join somebody else's company. So my friend Nicola, who I was also doing the projects at school, he started at the same time his company. So I joined him, and that was the beginning.
What's the day? You said this is your second company.
Yeah.
So your first one was the digital marketing agency, and this one is more like a data analytic powered social marketing. What does a day in your life look like?
Today?
Yeah.
Today it's, I have a small kid. She's two and a half years old. So usually I'm so lucky that she doesn't sleep. So she goes to bed at 12, 1 a.m.
You're lucky that she doesn't sleep.
Lucky in quotes.
Oh, okay. Sarcasm. Yeah, got it. Sarcasm, okay. I was like, wait, what am I missing?
Yeah, sorry. One of the lucky ones, you know. So we kind of get used to it, not sleeping. And I don't know, because I wake up very early, I feel very energized in the mornings. I go to the gym usually at 7 a.m., I'm like first in the office. I don't know, this not sleeping moment, it affects me positively, I can say, because I don't know, I must say that I had to start eating very healthy to get to this stage, you know.
Yeah.
So it requires some, you know, I don't know, sacrifices. But my daily job is to acquire more customers. I usually do this by inbound marketing. We don't do any sales and outbound in the global market. We only do sales in Japan at the moment with direct sales people. So my primary job is to find easily scalable channels. I usually say my job is to build growth machines. Mm-hmm. So when I say a machine, I try to find these parts of this machinery at some point of time. It's not a machine, but to find, you know, one piece of it that if you put some fuel on it, it can start working, you know, more faster.
Right,
some point you can become a rocket ship or something like that. So it's an analogy that I'm, you know, usually using it to describe what I'm doing. I use a lot of tools, a lot of data to acquire customers. So my job is to visualize this funnel of how intent happens for our service, mm-hmm. and to make these people convert to first trying the product, to see this wow effect I just mentioned.
Yeah.
So that's my premier job. So mm-hmm. after the wow moment happens, everything goes to the customer success team. So their job is to retain them, you know, nurture, you know, help them pay, and nurture their lifetime value in the company.
How many employees do you have?
Currently, we are hiring, so we plan to be 10 people here in Skopje in 1 month.
Nice.
And we have 2 guys in Japan. We'll see. It's a SaaS business. I don't want to grow in terms of number of people, but I want to grow in terms of who will come and join my company.
Right.
This is my learning curve from the previous company. We were hiring a lot.
Yeah.
So now I'm just trying to be more careful who joins us and not to have tons of people, you know, running around, having problems with managing people and things like that.
What is one huge obstacle that you've overcome professionally, and how did you overcome it?
Okay, so we professionally, for us, breaking point in building a product, SaaS product in Macedonia, was the recurring payment system. I have to mention that. So people in US, I know, and Western countries could not understand that there are few initiatives. I will say, yeah, there is a progress. But a few years ago, like 2 years ago, when we were setting up the recurring payment system, that means that you enter a card and every month we get, you know, we charge you for the service. So we couldn't do this with the banks and the systems here in Macedonia,
right,
with the company incorporated here. So we tried everything. We knew a lot of people who could have helped us, but the system wasn't there. So we decided, like, we will incorporate a company in different country. So we have now a company in different country. We have accounting team there. So everything is set up, the payment recurring, of course, like in every normal country. So, but for us, this, I don't know, took us like 2 or 3 months to set up. And now we are very, I don't know, comfortable to do the business, you know.
Amazing. How can people connect with you online?
They can find me on LinkedIn.
Can you spell your name for everybody?
K-A-T-E-R-I-N-A. That's the first name. And the last name is B-O-G-K-O-V.
And we'll include it in the show notes as well, so you could find Katarina super easy. And Katarina, one last question. Well, first, is this your first podcast?
First to talk, to host, not. I have hosted before.
You've hosted, but it's your first interview on a podcast.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And then very last question, what is your favorite app, website, or tech tool?
My life totally is dependent on Intercom.
Intercom.
Yeah, and I usually use Ahrefs.
What is that?
Ahrefs.com.
What is that?
It's a SEO tool, like the best one. You
spell it?
A-H-R-E-F-S.
H-R-E-F-S.com. I've never heard of it.
It's the best one.
It's an SEO, search engine optimization.
SEO, yeah. So you can Google it. It's amazing. It's a little bit expensive, but it's worth all the pennies.
And Intercom, for those that don't know, tell us what Intercom is.
So Intercom is a messaging platform, but it's like a sales automation, email automation, marketing automation platform. They have like different tiers. We are very, to migrate, we were using different tools, similar tools before. We migrated to Intercom 6 months ago. It was painful, but it works.
Why was it painful?
We needed to integrate all the events that our system, you know, how to say, syncs with these tools.
Yeah.
And it works a little bit differently than autopilot and drip. We were using autopilot and drip before.
Now, why did you make the decision to switch?
The decision was that they had this AI, they announced a lot of things around AI operators, which is why it automates a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need people prospecting, for example, talking with a person who is a $20 deal, and you can, you know, transfer this person to an operator who will, like, easily guide him through the articles and knowledge base that we have. So it's a self-service, you know, concept.
Yeah.
I think that there are a few other things, like in the integration points, but for me, that was one of the things. I think that also Drip now and Autopilot, they want to get in more into the AI, you know, operator stuff.
Right.
But I don't know. You can start with any of this and just see which one fits your needs.
Yeah. And if you're looking for live chat in general, Facebook actually has a live chat too, where you could put a live chat from your Facebook page and people could correspond that way.
Yeah.
That's a totally different topic, but Google it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Katarina, for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. It's been awesome. If you want to connect with more incredible women in tech around the world, remember to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. Takes you straight there. Say hello on social at Women in Tech Show on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, everyone. This is Katarina Boykov. I'm one of the co-founders of Embed Social. We are a social proof platform, and we are based in Skopje, Macedonia. And you're listening to Women in Tech.
It would not be possible to celebrate all these women in tech who have been extraordinary here in the Balkan region without the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program. And I'd like to welcome Nina to talk a little bit about what Swiss EP is. Thank you so much for powering the Women in Tech podcast.
We are helping enhancing the startup ecosystems in 6 different countries, 4 of which are based in the Balkans. We are working in emerging markets and supporting young entrepreneurs, but also the supporting organizations like Incubator Accelerator. We started a program called Entrepreneurs in Residence, which means that experts can come and work with our startup founders here and startup teams and supporting organizations. We cover accommodation and travel expenses, and you get to meet really amazing people here, and not just that, you share your know-how, you also get to learn a lot from these people here. My name is Nina Nikolic, and I am the manager of Entrepreneurs in Residence and ecosystem facilitator for the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program here in Macedonia.
To find out more about the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program, go to entrepreneur-in-residence.net. That's entrepreneur-in-residence.net.